Let's quiet our hearts and let's pray and ask God to be with us and to teach us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth in the pages of your word. Lord, the most blessed truth this morning that we consider, the resurrection of your Son. Lord, how all of eternity hinges on that event. Lord, I thank you that you are alive to make new things of our lives, to give us new hope, new starts, new beginnings. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for being our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Spring is a favorite season for most people because it signifies new beginnings. Just look all around you and you see new life in the springtime. New sounds, the birds chirping, singing their songs. New smells as flowers open up and release their fragrances. New sights as the grass becomes green and trees blossom. How significant is it that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ during the spring? Christina Georgina Rossetti said, "Spring burst today, for Christ is risen and all the earth is at play." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the springtime event for all of eternity. Jesus is alive and he makes things new. There's new springs to start in people's lives, new transformations of hearts because Jesus Christ lives. And I know that there are people in this room, in our body, who could testify to the fact that their life was transformed, that they were given a brand new, fresh start, all because Jesus is alive. There are people that live throughout all of history of the church that would make that same testimony. Hey, my life got transformed. I was given a new, fresh start. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And he lives to make me a new creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most glorious event, but I think what makes it even more glorious is when you look at it from the perspective of the sufferings that Jesus went through. You know, it's like the world gave him their worst, and he conquered it. Think of his life, where he stepped down from his rightful place at the throne of his heavenly Father, came down to this earth, became a man, grew up, lived a perfect, sinless life, started a public ministry trying to point people to God, and here the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, without any blemish, was rejected and crucified. And brutally executed. We've talked about his crucifixion in detail. Beard ripped out of his face, spit on, hit, thorns shoved in his skull, 40 lashes, and then having nails nailing him to a splintery wooden cross. And then to have all the sin of all time placed on his shoulder, to where his own father turned from him. It was as if the worst that man and sin and this world had to offer Jesus. That's what they offered him. But the worst that that man did to God was turned into the best that God did for man. You realize that? They gave him his worst, but he turned it into his best for us. A beautiful, glorious victory. An old legend tells of a parish priest who found a branch of a thorn tree twisted around so that it resembled a crown of thorns. Thinking it a symbol of the crucifixion of Christ, he took it into his chapel and placed it on the altar on Good Friday. Early on Easter morning, he remembered what he had done. feeling it was not appropriate for Easter Sunday, he hurried into the church to clear it away before the congregation came. But when he came into the church, he found that the thorn branches had blossomed with beautiful roses. What a glorious thing that this horrible treatment of our Savior turned into a blossoming picture of new life for us. Jesus Christ lives to make lives new, to give us brand new fresh starts, to give us a brand new fresh hope. Now maybe someone is here this morning who needs a new spring in their life, where things are not going very well, and you need a new start. You need a fresh beginning. You need to, you know, I just want to start over. Come to the risen one, because he stands waiting to give us fresh, new starts. As we are going to read this morning, a beautiful verse, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's turn there, if you haven't already. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A couple of things I want to draw out of that verse here on this Easter Sunday. The first is I want us to see our condition for being a new creation. Our condition, the condition that God has for us in order to have a new start. Two words in verse 17, that's the condition. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The condition is to be in Christ. In Christ. I want us to find out this morning exactly what the Bible means by in Christ. What does it mean for us as Christians to be in Christ, since that is the condition for us to have a new start? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. One way to think of being in Christ is to think of it this way. It's being brought into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Being directly linked spiritually to Jesus Christ, a spiritual union. The Bible has different ways of showing, giving us, illustrating what this union is, this spiritual union of being in Christ. The one that immediately came to my mind was in John chapter 15, if you remember, where Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, but every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. Then he goes on to say to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, he will bear much fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withered. That's a picture of what it means to be in Christ, this spiritual union that I'm talking about. It's like a branch and a vine. You have a vine that's supplying all the sap, all the nutrients for the rest of the tree. And then you have these branches that are a part of it. Very good illustration of what it means to be in Christ. The other way that this is explained in the Bible is not that we are in Christ, but that also Christ is in us. That if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, it's like he came into your body as a house. And he lives in you. He dwells inside you. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. So again, that spiritual union is likened to now Jesus indwelling, living inside our bodies. The Apostle Peter has a neat way to describe it. In the second letter he wrote, 2 Peter chapter 1, in his introduction to the people he wrote that book to, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Peter describes that as actually being partakers of the divine nature. That when you're in Christ, you have that spiritual unity with him. You partake of his divine nature. We see it another way in Scripture, and that is just by being members of the church. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a member of the church. And we see various illustrations of a spiritual union between the members of the church and Christ. Peter has called the church the house of God, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone or the foundation of that house. And what are we, Christians? We're bricks. Bricks built up together into this spiritual house with Jesus Christ as the foundation, showing a spiritual union that we have. Another more famous illustration concerning the church is the fact that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, like the head of a body. And that we as individual members of the church are members of his body, which he is the head. So the condition is to be in Christ, in a spiritual union with Christ. To build up on that a little bit, let me tell you a little bit else, a little more about what this means. Paul the Apostle uses the word in Christ. And he goes like this. He says, to be in Christ is basically to be identified with Christ from God's perspective. It has to do with having a spiritual union with Christ, and because of that union, you're identified with Christ. You, Christian, have been identified with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. You are identified with him if you are in Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." I think it's easier to understand this from the negative. If you are not a Christian, if you have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, God looks down on you and does not see you identified with his son. He doesn't see you identified with the death of his son or the resurrection of his son. He sees you as dead in your sin, not as a new creation, but rather dead in your sin, which is a very, very dangerous place to be. How tragic it will be for that person who stands before a holy God dead in their sin, without the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, without being identified with his death and with his resurrection. To be in Christ is to share a spiritual union with him and to be identified with him in his death and in his resurrection. Since it is Easter and since it is Resurrection Sunday, which we believe, which we celebrate today, I want to make this point. No one could be in Christ if he didn't rise from the dead. Do you know that? Nobody could be in Christ if he was still in the tomb. We had to have a risen Savior. Our condition to be is to be in Christ, but nobody could have been in Christ had Christ not raised from the dead. If he hadn't saved himself, he couldn't save us. And that is what makes Christianity so much different than other religions. We have a living Savior, a living Lord. We don't have a leader who people think have been reincarnated. How would you prove that? We have a leader of the Christian faith who has bodily been raised from the dead. And why people go to other religions with dead leaders to stay dead in their sin, I can't understand. When we have a living Savior who wants to make us a new creation. Dr. Siemens tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions. And you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? Would you ask the dead one? He can't talk. Or would you ask the one that's alive? Jesus Christ is alive. And by the way, He hears you. You can talk to Him, and He'll point you down the right road. He'll point you on the road to heaven. Jesus is alive." That is why Christianity is exclusive in its claim for salvation. That Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only way because He's the only one who defeated death. He's the only one who died such a cruel death for our sin. That is why to be in Christ is the only condition to being a new creation. Jesus alone holds that. Notice who this is for. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." The offer is for anyone. If you want to be a new creation, it's offered to you freely. It's for anyone. It's not just for clergy. It's not just for guys that wear robes. It's not just for Spanish speaking or English speaking. It's for anyone. It's not for people that want to wear three-piece suits to church. It's not for just for people that want to wear earrings and shorts to church. It's for anyone. It's open to anyone. And everyone needs it. Everyone needs to be a new creation. In preparation for a meeting in a large city, famed evangelist Billy Sunday wrote a letter to the mayor in which he asked for the name of individuals he knew who had a spiritual problem and needed help in prayer. He was surprised because the mayor sent him a city directory. Who needs prayer? He gets the city directory. It's for everyone. Everyone needs to be in Christ. Everyone. And the offer is for anyone. But it saddens me to think that not everyone will take hold of it. Because it is a choice. It's a choice to be in Christ. And the Bible tells us that there will be people that will refuse that choice. They'll refuse to be in Christ. How tragic. They will stand before God dead in their sin. It is a choice. It's for everyone and anyone. But you have to choose. Again, I take you to that verse in Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus knocks, but he doesn't break down the door. He waits to be invited. He is a perfect gentleman. He will not force his way in anybody's life. Oh, he'll woo them. He'll want to show them and bless them and try to draw them. But in the end, it's led up to your choice to be in Christ, to become a new creation. That is the condition. In Christ. Now let's look at the result of being in Christ. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If you are in Christ, then the Bible calls you a new creation. brand new, completely changed, brand new. The word here in the Greek is katesis, and it means the act of creating. Creation or a created individual, the New American Standard translated as, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Someone who has been created all over again by the Lord. Most of the times you see this Greek word in the Scripture, it's most of the times referring to God's creation of the earth and of the universe. And you look around and you see the great power on display by His creation. What a powerful God to see His creation, the stars, the mountains, this great, vast, wide universe. The same God that spoke those into being by His word, by that same power, can make you a new creation. And by that same power has made many of us here this morning new creations. Completely new. Completely brand new. What do I mean by a new creation? Well, here's what I mean. Earlier we talked about being dead in sin. And then becoming this new creation if we're in Christ. What God does when you give your heart to Him, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, is He supernaturally, totally, completely transforms you from a person who is dead in sin to a son or daughter of God. Someone who has been completely wiped clean, completely fresh. A white, fresh new start, forgiven of all sins, a new creation. From dead in your sin to alive to Christ. It's a great term for it. It's called being born again. It's like being born again spiritually. A radical change. Just a little bit about this experience. It is supernatural. This change, this being born again, this becoming a new creation in Christ is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. He does it. Now, many times if you say that prayer, maybe you don't remember feeling anything. Maybe you didn't see lightning strike. But God's Word says that there's a tremendous change that takes place. And guess what? It takes place instantaneously. It's not something that you have to work into. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to, as some religions say, graduate to higher and higher spiritual levels until you eventually attain divineship. No, when you become a Christian, it happens like that. Instantaneously, by the power of God, you are transformed from someone who is dead in sin to a child of the King on their way to heaven, Spirit-filled, forgiven of their sins. That is the change we're talking about this morning. I want to draw this to your attention, however, in saying that, because I think a lot of people get misled by this verse. You become a new creation, but I think a lot of people get frustrated because they become a Christian and they realize that, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. I thought I was going to become this perfect person without sin, without any more faults. That's not what happens. This new creation, you should think about it more as your position now before a holy God. That when you are turned into a new creation, God has given you a new position before a holy God, that you are in Christ and He sees your life immersed in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that when God looks down on you, He sees you in Christ. He sees His perfect Son. He says He sees a penalty that's already been paid for you. He sees a new resurrection that has already taken place for you. That you are now alive in Christ. New creations in Christ are hidden in Christ. Isn't that great? That God sees you under the protective care of His Son, the risen Lord, our risen Savior. Jesus Christ Himself is our covering. And that we don't go before God bare or naked. We go before in the covering of Jesus Christ, by His blood, covered. There are sinners who remain uncovered before God. Those are what we call non-Christians, non-believers. Then there are sinners who are covered by Jesus Christ. Those are called Christians. No, you don't become perfect. You don't become sinless. You become covered in the blood as a position before God. He sees you blameless. Having said that, though, there will be a change in your life. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There will be a change, won't there? You can look back to your conversion, hopefully, and see a great change. A change in your desires. A change in your activities. A change in your priorities. Old sinful activities will not become as desirable. They'll cease. In fact, you can't stay willfully sinning as a born-again Christian without being miserable. Sorry. If you're a born-again Christian and you're willfully sinning, you will be miserable. If you have tasted of the Lord and you have seen that He is good, and then you taste of filth, you'll choke on it. It'll make you miserable. Old sinful activities will not be as appealing. Old priorities will go away. Living for your own selfish ambition, or in this endless pursuit of material things and wealth, or of fame and fortune. Old attitudes will change. Ugliness towards people. Fear, despair. There should be a change. You should see a change. They will change into new activities, such as fellowshipping with God's people, reading God's Word, going to church and liking it, reading God's Word, singing songs before our Savior, hearts filled with praise before our God. Those will become new, fresh activities that you'll want to partake in. All things will become new. You'll have new priorities. You'll begin to see everything from God's perspective. How can I love God in this situation? How can I please God in this situation? Then you'll have the new priority of people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. They will have a new priority on your list of priorities. They'll be second. First will be God, second will be others. It will change. New attitudes, hope, joy, peace, genuine concern for other people. You should see that change. You should see that take place. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone. The new things have come. And so you should see that. Replacing of old things or old habits with new habits is a biblical principle. It's something that happens to you when you become a Christian. It's something that takes place. And it's a way by which we as Christians are called to grow. That we replace old things with new things. It was the Apostle Paul who said, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Christian growth is putting off the old man, but not just putting off. positively putting on other activities. Old things going away, new things coming, putting on. It's a biblical principle. And that will happen as we mature in Christ. That will happen as the risen Savior gives us grace and power to do that by His Holy Spirit. But this morning, what I want to say is, no matter where you are in your Christian life, or whether maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this morning, come as you are. This morning, come as you are. Jesus never said to clean yourself up, get rid of sins, you sinner, and then come to me. Jesus said, come to me, I'll take care of your sins. That's why I came. Come as you are. Come clothed as you are to the throne of grace, to the risen Savior who died to make all things new and lives again to give us new life. Early one morning, fire broke out in a house on a narrow street. The alarm was sounded by a policeman on duty. The fireman pleaded, come as you are, come as you are, but to no avail. From below, they tried to ascend the stairs, but were turned back as the wind fanned the flames into fury. When a rescuer tried to enter through a window, the heat and smoke forced him away. Suddenly the stairs gave way and the roof fell in. The man had waited too long and was buried beneath the ruins. How much greater tragedy awaits all who refuse to flee from the wrath to come. Many reject God's provision of salvation and safety in Christ because they want to get dressed up in the clothes of self-righteousness or religion. Their delay could cost them their souls. Come as you are. Come as you are. Don't dress yourself up in religion or in self-righteousness. Come as you are to the risen Savior this morning. He's alive today to breathe new life into you. Just as God spoke the world into creation, He can speak new life into creation to our hearts, giving us a brand new, fresh start. That's the beauty of Easter. It's the beauty of spring. The springtime event of eternity. Jesus Christ is alive. I don't know where we all are this morning, spiritually. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is filled with misery. You're dead in sin and you know it. You're living for sinful activity. And no matter how much of it you get, the more you crave, you're never satisfied. Jesus said, come and drink of me and you will never be thirsty again. He's alive to give us living water. Come to our risen Lord who stands ready to make you a new creation. Maybe you're not such a bad guy or gal. Maybe you figure you're pretty good. But you've filled your life up with things that cannot satisfy you completely. And you know it to be true. Our risen Lord stands ready to fill your life with meaning, peace, joy, and satisfaction. He stands ready to give you that new life, that new attitude. Maybe you are here this morning and you have fallen away from the Lord. You are one of those who has tasted of the Lord and seen that He is so good. But now you find yourself choking, miserable, backslidden. Jesus still wants to make you brand new. Completely brand new. To give you a complete new start. A fresh, new beginning. The prodigal son came back to the father. Remember, the father ran to him and hugged him. Let's have a party. Let's have a feast. My son has come home. That's what it will be for you this morning if you come back to the Lord. He stands ready and willing to bring you back. Our risen Lord will take you back. Maybe you have a marriage that is teetering on the brink of failure. Our risen Lord stands ready to completely heal that marriage. Whatever problem you might be facing, there is hope because we have a risen Lord. We have a risen Savior, someone who is there, willing and able to make all things new. Some of us stay at the cross. Some of us wait at the tomb, quickened and raised with Christ, yet lingering still in the gloom. Some of us abide at the Passover feast with Pentecost all unknown, the triumphs of grace in the heavenly place that our Lord has made His own. If Christ who died had stopped at the cross, His work had been incomplete. If Christ who was buried had stayed in the tomb, He had only known defeat. But the way of the cross never stops at the cross, and the way of the tomb leads on to victorious grace in the heavenly place where the risen Lord has gone. Our Lord is alive to make things new. May we all come before Him this morning with a fresh heart, full of adoration for our risen Lord. And let Him touch you this Easter Sunday. Let the risen Lord touch you with His nail-pierced hands and call you back into a beautiful, vibrant, blossoming relationship with Him. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for our hope that can never die because Your Son did not stay dead. Lord, I pray this morning that You would breathe fresh, new life into Your people. Lord, for those that have fallen away from You, I pray that You would call them back this morning. For those people facing broken relationships and marriages, I pray, Lord, that You would make those relationships or marriages better than they were before the problems began. Lord, we know that You can completely restore, totally. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who has not been identified with Your Son in death and in resurrection. Lord, I pray that You would call people this morning into identification with Your Son, that they might be able to confidently say, I am in Christ. I have a spiritual union with Christ. And because of that, I am a new creation. If you want that to be yours this morning, if you are here and you can't confidently say that I am in Christ, say that this morning. Ask Jesus to come into your life, the risen one. In the quietness of your heart, just say, Lord, I want to be covered by You. I do not want to be found dead in my sin. I want to be a new creation. Make me that new creation this morning. Forgive me of my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross and then rising again. I want to be identified with that death. I want to be identified with that resurrection. I want that new life. I want to be born again. Fill me with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer this morning, you're a new creation. Completely new, brand new, fresh new start. Boy, do we need those new starts, don't we? Let's all stand.